Today's scripture is from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. When the Magi had departed, an angel from the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod will soon search for the child in order to kill him." Joseph got up and during the night took the child and his mother to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod died. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I have called my son out of Egypt." When Herod knew the Magi had fooled him, he grew very angry. He sent soldiers to kill all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the surrounding territory who were 2 years old and younger, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. This fulfilled the words spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and much grieving, Rachel weeping for her children, and she did not want to be comforted because they were no more. After King Herod died, an angel from the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said, "and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. Those who were trying to kill the child are dead." Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus ruled over Judea in place of his father Herod, Joseph was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he went to the area in Galilee. He settled in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The word of God for the people of God.
Grateful to our sister in Christ for helping us to continue and enter into worship this morning. Thank you, my friend. And I would ask if my younger friends want to come down. I have something really, really, really cool to show you that I got for Christmas. Got this for Christmas. I want to show it to you. Look at this. See? But there's something I want to show you about it. It's an M&M candy dispenser. So put your hand right there, okay? Oh, wrong way. Over here. Oh, or maybe she's doing laps. I'm not sure. That's okay. So you push that out. Oh, you got two. Awesome. Now hold on to one of those, okay? I'm going to go ahead and take one. Oh, my gosh, I got five. How'd that work out? That was awesome. Hey, do you want to go ahead? Do you think that we should go ahead and pass these out to somebody else? Why don't you go ahead and pass out four of those to other people that you want? Just go ahead and pass it out right now. Just go ahead and pick out four other people. I'm going to go ahead and give you one of these. There you go. You got the M&M. Now hold on or eat it. Either one. That's fine. That's either one. That's fine. I do have something to talk to you about concerning M&Ms. Okay? Work that time. Okay? You guys want to come back now or you done? So come on up here. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Let me go ahead and show you something about these M&Ms. Okay? Whenever you look at the M, okay, there's an M on there, on the M&Ms. Okay, there's an M. Okay, I'm going to hold on to this one. The M, if you turn it just right, it becomes an E, right? And you can also turn it, and it becomes a 3. And then you can turn it upside down, and it becomes a W, exactly. The M is for the manger where baby Jesus slept. The E is for the east where the star shone so bright. The 3 is for the wise men, because there were 3 wise men. And the W reminds us to worship. So whenever you eat these candies or share them with a friend, remember the morning of Christmas. It's a love story that never ends. How about that? Now, you want another one? Okay, and they taste good too, don't they? Now, which one of you is going to pause long enough and not just throw that in your mouth with an M&M? So, hey, do you guys want to go ahead and offer a prayer? Do you want to offer a prayer this morning? You want to offer a prayer? Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead. Jesus, thank you for the food.
Okay, that's okay.
Just bless my mommy and daddy and just bless my sister and me in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for coming up. Thanks for coming up, okay? I'll see you later. I got to save some M&Ms for next service, so I'm sorry about that. Okay? Okay. Okay, go ahead. You can go ahead and eat that. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thanks for coming up. Okay, we'll see ya. Thanks. Two of my favorite people were back there, so I had to have them come up. For that, and I'm so glad that they did. You know, God speaks to us in surprising ways, and I like things like that with the M&Ms. I like it because it's a little bit different. And did God make M&Ms so that we would remember the Christmas story? Probably not. But can we remember the Christmas story when we look at M&Ms? Can we be thinking about God even when we're throwing them in our mouth like this? Watching the football game? Yeah, absolutely. God works in subtle ways and speaks into our lives at all times. I want you to think about that. God speaks into your life at all times. Now this is something that kind of expands our understanding of God, because oftentimes the way we think of God is I pray and then God acts. Let's be honest about that. I pray and then God does something. Well, let me go ahead and just blow your mind right now. God is at work already and always, whether or not you're praying. And let me even expand it a little bit more. God's at work whether you're paying attention to Him or not. God's love is so immense and powerful that God can't help but be at work in our lives. Each and every moment. Each and every breath is a reminder of grace and power and joy. We've gotten a chance to light the center candle, haven't we? We've gone one by one all the way around, and then we light that center candle on Christmas Eve, but we light it again this morning because we remember the light of the world, Jesus. And yet, what an odd scripture passage to have. This first Sunday of Christmas, it's not particularly joyful, isn't it? Is it? It's not particularly a happy one. In fact, it's one that points more towards the darkness in the world. And yet, even in the midst of that darkness, the light of Christ shines brightly. Nothing can extinguish that light. Certainly, we start putting away the decorations. Maybe some of you already have started, and that's okay. And we're going to start putting the decorations here at the church tomorrow. And we start putting the wise men back into that styrofoam so they can keep guard over that styrofoam for a whole nother year. Until we get them out again. And we're going to put these away as well. But the true light of the world, the light of Christ, will never be extinguished. That is our hope. Nothing that happens will be able to extinguish that flame. Nothing is more powerful than that light that reminds us of God's joy and love in our lives. We remember that especially this morning as we recall the Holy Family and what they went through. Having to flee, having to pack up and go quickly, to go to a completely different country, an area of the world, and find themselves in new surroundings and hoping that they would be received by those who lived there with hospitality. It reminds us, this is kind of an aside, it reminds us that as we welcome new people, we are also called to be hospitable. We are called to show extravagant hospitality. And we are called to welcome the newcomer, welcome the sojourner, welcome the traveler, as the Holy Family was welcomed as well. And welcome them in true love, offering what God has given us to bless them. That Holy Family, thank goodness that they were welcomed in that way. And thank goodness that on that long journey, and if you look at a map, you'll see that this was a journey through some pretty rugged, difficult terrain. This was not getting in the car and driving over to San Diego. This was traveling through desert and wilderness. Difficult, difficult journeys. And yet, this was what was spoken to Joseph, to go ahead and leave, to flee, to go to a safe place. An angel of the Lord is the one that brings this message. And it's interesting whenever we look at that an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and says to flee. Sometimes whenever God gives us a message, it might not necessarily appear at first to be a message that is one of good news. But we need to be patient and wait for God to work and to be in God's timing. If it's simply about our timing and the season that we feel that we're in, then we're probably going to misconstrue a message from God. God's angels will speak into our lives, and maybe it's a message that might not necessarily seem at positive at first, and yet if we're willing to trust and we're willing to follow, then it's going to work out for the best in the end. No question. God always has our good in mind. Always. Always. Even if at first we wonder about God's plan, we wonder what God's doing, God always has our good in mind. Herod is not only a historical figure, but a representation of evil in the world. Herod was a ruthless leader, someone who was appointed by the Romans. And the Roman occupiers certainly knew a thing or two about putting people down and keeping people in their place. They were brutal in themselves, and so they found in Herod a kindred spirit, someone that would keep the people down, would control the people. And Herod did not have any qualms either about killing people in his own family, executing people who he thought were a threat to his own throne. So when we hear that Herod is infuriated that the Magi, the astronomers, the wise men, whatever you want to call them, these individuals from a whole other area of the world had tricked him, he set out to do something that even today, some churches remember in something called the Feast of the Innocents. There is a massacre that we understand takes place, and in that village, it probably wouldn't have been in the hundreds, but it speaks of children being murdered nonetheless. And we think about modern day situations. Sandy Hook comes to mind. And we think about places where children have been killed. And we carry those scars in our hearts as well. Maybe not even knowing the children personally, but nonetheless being scarred by it forever, keeping the memory and of those events, but also keeping their families surrounded in our love and prayers. There's something about that continues to strike us and reminds us that life will never be normal again. You know, maybe the Holy Family wanted life to be normal. Maybe the Holy Family wanted to just have a peaceful existence. Maybe they just wanted to be like every other family, and although it was a difficult time to live and a hard time to live, they just wanted to be able to have a home to live in, a place to reside, a job to be able to do. And yet, life would never be normal for them, especially after this incident. Life would never be normal for those families that were affected, for this whole village that was affected. And whenever we think about brokenness that happens in our lives, we think about in our own history, how things change once evil pervades. But the reality, once again, of this passage is that even when evil breaks in and when evil seems to win, God has the final say. And God always has the final say. After the Oklahoma City bombings, there were numerous journalists who kind of coined that phrase at that time. It seemed like it came up again and again and again, that life will never be normal again. And yet for us, we understand that there's all sorts of things that make life abnormal. Things that come in our way. Things that are stumbling blocks. News that isn't particularly good. Things that are draining emotionally and physically. Is God still at work even when things don't go right? Absolutely. Does God still have something in mind, even when our plans seem to head in a direction that we could have never seen, that takes us into a place of challenge and almost overwhelms us? Yes, God is still at work. This scripture passage points to that. Because eventually, what happens? Herod dies. And once again, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph. Now that first appearance, what happened? Get out of town. Leave. Startling news. This news is better, but it's still going to involve a great effort. Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead. At least a word of hope that now the family is safe, and now that child will be safe, at least for a while. God is at work in our lives today, and God continues to be at work, even as we start packing up Christmas. God's actions initiate all human activity. This includes, in this particular scripture passage, sending the angels, the actions of Joseph and his family, and the decisions of Herod and other agents of political unrest. Secondly, it is clear that Matthew, in sharing these words, wanted people to understand that even early on, there was this connection between Jesus and also Moses, this one who would lead his people, this one who would lead his people out of slavery. Moses literally leading his people out of slavery to Pharaoh, Jesus leading his people, and who are his people? Out of slavery to sin. You see, there's a powerful working of grace in these words. And there's a reminder here that wherever we find ourselves, we are never off of God's map. Have you ever been lost? Anybody ever get lost on the way to Yuma? Anybody ever get lost on the way out of Yuma? You found yourself someplace and you had no idea where you were. Holy Family, finding themselves in Egypt, probably were wondering, where in the world are we? Okay. And Mary might have even told Joseph, why didn't you ask for directions? But even though they were in a place they'd never been before, and in the known world at the time, I mean, they were really, really out there, folks. They were not off of God's map. And even when we feel that we're in a place we never expected to be, and maybe facing challenges that we never thought that we would face, God still knows where we're at. God still knows our names. And God's love is still at work in our lives. One of the most powerful words in this entire scripture is the word fulfill. And this points to God's backstage kind of work, God working behind the scenes. And they remained in Egypt in order to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord. Then it was fulfilled what Jeremiah said. And they settled in Nazareth. This is the end of the story. This is the end of this particular scripture reading. They settled in Nazareth so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. God at work, even when we're not paying attention. God knowing where we're at, even when we have no idea where we're at. God strengthening us for what lies ahead, even when we're not completely sure what does lie ahead of us. I guess whenever we look deeper into this particular scripture passage for today, and we read it in the light of the Christ candle, and we read it knowing that light of Christ is at work in us and aflame in us, then we understand that it is a word of hope. Even so, even if it is talking about a very dark time. Do dark times overwhelm God's people? No. Does evil win? No. Is God always at work and ready to surprise us with His grace? Yes. That, my friends, is a message that we can hold on to today. That, my friends, is a message that we can hold on to not only at Christmas, but all year long. It's not simply about presents. It is about God's presence in our lives. It is about God journeying with us and us following the path that God guides us to follow. And so the question and the reflection to have today is, even if we are journeying through a dark time, even if we're going through difficult moments, can we still trust in God? It's a challenging question, but it's a challenge of faith that we must all answer in our own hearts, in our own way, truthfully. Let me encourage you to answer that question with a resounding yes. We can trust. We can count on God, because God always comes through. God always strengthens. God always loves. Who and what are you trusting? Who are you listening to? Is God speaking to you through an angel? Which he does. And are you listening? Are you listening inside and trusting in your heart? I invite you to be with me in a time of reflection and prayer right now. Maybe you are specifically going through a dark time. Maybe God is asking you to move in a way, in a direction that you never expected, that you're not sure of. You can trust in how God is moving in your life. You can count on God. And you will know that God will never, ever fail you. Join with me in prayer.